This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the spooktacular Halloween special. Halloween is here, and we have the best guest ever for this. We have Anita Jo Entenzo, and she was here 2 weeks ago, and I loved her so much, and she had so much amazing things to say that are so spooky and scary, and just really great stuff. And not just spooky and scary. Hi, Anita.
Hi. Hi, Mercedes.
So we've got Anita here, but Anita, if you don't mind, I have a special event that happened I wanted to share this year, this time of year on my birthday, which was Saturday. But I'm sharing a true event, true story, true song, real story. It's taken me a year to actually, you know, get it from studio recording to the music video. So we are going to share that on this special show tonight. So we're going to do that right now. And then when we come back from that, from sharing the song Ghosts in the Dark, which is a true story about what happened to myself and my family here in Arizona, we're going to share that. And then we're going to be right back with Anita Jo Entenzo. So here we go. Boo!
Now they
blood-stained land, and the forgotten bones buried in the sand. Oh, you ghost in the dark of the shadows on the wall. Oh, the voices in the hall that I hear at all. Oh, these ghosts, they keep playing tricks with my mind. They're making me crazy all the time. Well, there it was, the song Ghost in the Dark, and that song will actually be attached, included with the documentary that I'm, the documentary series I'm creating, which is called Sacred Land Arizona, and this particular documentary that it will be connected to would be The Shadows of the Dark, Shadows of the Desert, which is the, it's going to be really about what happened, why, what's happening here on this land, and what are the shadow people? What, you know, there's a lot of, you know, and Anita, this is a great question for you. A lot of people wonder why I've named it Shadows of the Desert. And I can imagine that, I don't know if you've been here to this land where I'm at, I know you've gone the trips here and everything, but a shadow in the desert is also not just scary, but it's also life-saving, because the cactus, the giant saguaro, which I consider the centennials of the desert, or we have a lot of those here. I believe that when those cast a shadow and all the shadows, you know, then the little animals get shade for the day. So shadows can also be and mean good things, you know? So that's how come I was kind of thinking it means more than just one.
I love that. That's a really good point, you know, to bring up, because it's true. You know, it gives them a little respite from the heat and they have shaded and the, you know, the shadows, you know,
the clouds.
Yeah. And shadows could be they're absent of light, you know, either They could be on a constant loop. I do feel that even though I've done some blogging and mentioned about trying to research about shadow people, because we have shadow people here, or we have a shadow man that's made himself known to us. I've actually seen him in our hallway on the first floor. And also, he's been captured on video and also in some still photographs that we have. So, and he's wearing a hat, a brimmed hat. And later on, we were trying to make a connection, and we feel that this shadow man, he's really not so much interacting with us. He might not even know that we're around him. He's just going through his motions and his space and time. And the one night that I happened to see this, I was in my living room watching television, and our center hallway is just like that. It's a center, and you can look into our living room and then go into another room. So there's a center hall, and I'm sitting watching TV, and I'm facing the, our hallway, and I just see this 6 foot or so shadow person with the hat, and I was just so stunned. I go, that's something you don't see every day. I'm just like looking at this, and I don't know what to make of it. And he just proceeds to walk through, into the hallway, and he goes right out the front door. He just, dissolved. And I said, I don't know what I just saw over here, And yet, later on, when Bill Bean was here in 2018, we took some photos in the basement and trying to document what he was feeling and some of the things that he was being made aware of. And he asked my son to take photos, which he usually doesn't do, but he said, I felt compelled that you need to document this. So Christopher went kind of behind him, and some of the pictures I sent to you are were taken in the basement. That
Oh yeah, right.
there's a couple of really strange faces that appeared on the metal ductwork that's to our heater. Very, 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 very amazing and strange faces. And also in where Bill was standing in one part of our basement, there is a back door that leads to a storm door, because our we're into, as I said, I think on your other show 2 weeks ago. And thank you again for having me back on your show. I really appreciate it tonight. And it's on tonight, of the witching, beginning of the witching hour, and tomorrow the Halloween, which the veil is very thin, so we're kind of like waiting to see if something's going to happen around here. But in the stairwell going to our back, you go up the steps and you go out to our backyard. It's some of the oldest part of the house that dates from the 1800s, the that part of the house. And there was a shadow figure, and it looked like a dog figure next to him, which my son has seen in his dreams and was documented on a haunting TV show. This man with a dog. There was pictures that we caught of the shadow man in the stairwell of, of this area where Bill had been standing. And we were taking pictures of Bill because we had heard a growling sound when Bill was saying prayers next to the, you have a fireplace in the basement and has some of the oldest brick and cinder block that has been to reinforce it, but some of the oldest brick, which belonged to the original house, and we're in the foundation, so that's probably the oldest part of the house still. And Bill, we heard, he said, did you hear that? I go, oh yeah. I said, something sounds like it's growling and moaning because you're saying prayers to kind of rid of what, the evil intentions are that's going on. That we had called him and he came up, and we captured fingerprints on our mirror that do not look human. They look skeletal. I had sent those to you, the faces on the metal ductwork that was in the basement, and also, the shadow people. So yeah, they can come and go. I think some of them might be there for a sinister reason, and I think others are just totally unaware. That they're walking through a time, and we're just viewing them almost like on a video.
Exactly. And I'd seen all these pictures, or most of them, in the books, the books that he had written. Well, I think we were both in the one about recent one, the Bill Bean with the Exorcist book, that one. But I know I'd seen a lot of these pictures and things were in the previous book that Bill had written about you guys. So yeah, the documented evidence you have is very concrete. I mean, it's
It's
like,
very creepy. Yeah. It's
yeah,
creepy.
it's like really like, okay, that's something right there. And
Yeah.
you definitely, and last time we talked a lot about, kind of, we didn't really get into too much of this. So that's, I would love to, I know we talked a lot, but I think there's some of the things, we should probably go into, like we're doing right now, which I like. One thing I would like to talk about is the, so you've had a lot of different things similar to mine, and one of the things we were talking about, that music video, and you'll look at some of the pictures I've drawn, where, I mean, I do feel like there's these crossways. I believe that they can walk through, and I'm just able to see some of these sometimes. So I like the man in your house, the shadow man standing in the doorway, then he's walking.
Yes.
So I mean, it's like, did you ever find that you found more than like one, more than, did you feel ever more than one spirit at the time, like where there's many? Did that ever occur to you?
We have a woman spirit. She hasn't made herself really known to us now for a while. Maybe she moved on because Bill was here and he wanted them to be able to cross over in peace. But Marjorie, we gave her the name Marjorie, was supposedly a caregiver, we believe, in the 1800s, and she looked after these two children that there was a sadness around it that possibly these children passed away early in their years. And she would leave me, like, we didn't know until a friend of ours who's psychic came for a luncheon. I had a few of the women from this Tri-County Normal group that was really helping us out a lot. And Laurie had said to me, she said, "There's a woman here and she's very comforting and she is, she wants her presence to be known and she's been leaving you presents." And I said, "Oh yeah, these like crocheted pieces of yarn or thread that I would find throughout the house at different times." And she just said that she was watching over us because she knew there was a lot of bad elements or things that were not settled in the house. And so we've had her, we've had children that have gone through the house. We've heard like laughter or footsteps, or they're very mischievous. Something sounds like something is running into into one of the pieces of furniture. My son and I look at each other like, "Did something just run into the furniture or just move the furniture?" Or we'll have the sun catchers on the windows in the kitchen. They'll just come down. And I go, "Okay, I just heard something coming off the window again." And it's in a suction cup and it will just fall off the window. And it happens more than frequent. Like, it's a frequent occasion that I've had to take most of them off the windows because they keep taking them off and they just are into the kitchen sink. They slide in. But fingerprints, handprints, yeah, there's been multiple. Like, I think, as Bill said, the portal in our home, it gets activated and it ebbs and flows like almost like a river. And we've had disconnecting kinds of spirits through here that really we can't seem to understand what the connection is. And they might, and I call them like they're sort of they're opportunists, that if the veil happens to be open for some reason, then, or my son has, he dreams, of that people come to him in his dreams and they tell him who they are and give him instructions or write down things so they would be able to be looked up to say we actually existed. And some of them are historical people. They're people that lived maybe 70 years ago or even older than that, that he says, "I don't know why these people are coming to me, but I'll write down their name and we'll look them up." But the veil being could be thin. And I feel that when we actually have had maybe a relative, or like maybe one of my dad has come to my son after he passed and said he was okay, don't worry about me, tell your grandmother that I'm okay. But in that veil, or in that, I think that time or that zone that he was being visited, other spirits can kind of, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to latch on. There's an opening here, and let me see if I can come in," because they'll be just very disjointed, like a pioneer settlers came to Christopher and we had to look up the name. And I said, "Yeah, I mean, that's historic. Like, that is a person that you're giving me this name." And then one was a World War II pilot that came to Chris, and gave us the location of the cemetery where he was buried, that we had never even heard of these places in Oklahoma, that we found out that he was buried there, that we had the
Wow.
name. So it's sort of like, so there's disconnection. Like, it's like they want to just be presented to say, yeah, hi, we're just visiting. And yet there's other more, there are much more profound meaning of people that are meant to come to him. So it's really strange. I mean, I don't know how my son does it. I mean, he's a very I would say he takes it in his stride, but he doesn't even tell me all the time, because he says, I don't want to worry you, or I don't want to get you upset. But I said, no, you should tell me if there's something important, or you're just keeping this inside, like, I don't want you to bear this burden alone, because I believe you. If you're telling me this is happening, I believe 100% that what you're telling me.
Well, I mean, and the fact that you've looked, also then looking up the names and then finding them to be real, I totally understand, because in my work with the where I was working and what I do, I would get one of the people I was contacted with was they said their name was Admiral Byrd, and I'm like, who the heck is Admiral Byrd? I didn't even I thought that's a weird name, and I looked it up. There is an Admiral Byrd. I mean, a very so the things like that, or like if I get like a remedy for somebody or what they need for a remedy, and then I'd go like some weird herb, I'd hear it and I'd look it up and it's exactly what they needed. It's so it was just like that's one of the things I started. So what I totally think what he's doing is great. Now, what would it so like, there's people out there that think that that's witchery or that's wrong or that, how do you feel about that? Like that those are tricksters and all.
Well,
What do you feel?
like growing up, I was raised in a Catholic religion, and you just tended, like, if you seen that you had some gifts, you didn't really want to explore it more, because you felt like this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Like there's sort of a code where, that's all under superstition. Or, but I can't deny, because I've said to my son, I said, the more that I see what you've gone through, I know that I had experiences as a child and didn't want to put much into it. But then I realized, I have psychic abilities too, and you don't like to acknowledge it, but because you don't want to tell other people, think that, okay, she's ready for, a padded cell. But my son and I know each other, that we have 100% acceptance between us, that because what we've been through together, not many, I think, mother and sons have been through, where you're in a house with haunting activity for 10 months straight. You're in a house till you can close the estate, and then it's brought into your house and you're dealing with it. And he and I knew the signs, like, wait a minute, now it's starting here with poltergeist activity, and things materializing out from nowhere. I mean, to have German coins come from nowhere and they're thrown against your wall in your in your, against the, like, I'm in my studio where I'm with you tonight, and the wall connecting to it, it's opposite my living room. And so if you're in the studio, I had actually a client here years ago, and she was picking up, I do the restoration work, like you mentioned, on your other show. And we heard these bangs against the wall, and she just looked at me and she said, Anita, what was that? I said, just let me see. And I found German Deutschmarks, which are no longer used because it's all euros now. And I showed her, she goes, you told me your house was haunted, and you told me the story with your friend. Now I believe you 100%. Not that I didn't believe you before, but seeing the proof, that these coins just came out of nowhere and just banged against the wall, and you have, so, she couldn't wait to get home. She said, wait, I tell my husband, he won't believe this. And we've had other people just here that would witness something, and they'll say, what was that? Like, and I would have to explain, well, this something is strange is going on. And they said, if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. And that's, and I've told people, like, if you want to believe the story, I mean, it's 100% true, but it's not my job to convince you. It's there, it's told in a very much of a manner of, like, I'm not emphasizing it more than it is. This is what it is. this is the narrative, and we're just documenting what happened, and take it or leave it. You can believe it or not, but we know very much for real. Once you've lived through it, I mean, I've been physically attacked. My son was physically attacked when we were at my friend's house. I've been attacked here. I've been scratched. I sent you a picture, showed you scratch marks on my stomach. I've been scratched on the arm. We've had objects that were meaningful to us here that have been broken on purpose. So we know that there is, there's good spirits here, but there's also an element of evil that we don't like to provoke because they don't want to leave. And Bill has dealt with them. He said they're very seriously bad, that he can temporarily try to really rid this. But he said, your land, you and your son being, that you have these gifts. He said, this is something that could constantly go on. He said, I could, do what I can to temporarily vanish it, but it could be another portal. He said, I might close this portal, but another one will open. So Bill, he, in fact, he has been messaging me every day, asking me about how I'm doing, how my son's doing. And, and it's not just the recent crisis that we had, but, he's always checking in on us because he worries about us, because he knows that he's done what he can for what he can do in here. And we totally believe, once he leaves, like he'll be here and things are cleared for a number of months and then some things can start up again. And it might be just the way things are, it's like there is a certain thing in this land, as you mentioned about your land, there's things that have been on here for a long time. And we're just happen to be people that settled for now on this land. But when we leave, when we leave this earth, Lord knows how much longer it'll continue after that, because, there are things that are set in the land. I think that it's all part of the history, so it's hard to explain, but you kind of just try to accept what you can.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I do believe that our land, this 5 acres, mm-hmm. this fenced 5 acres, it's mm-hmm. like we've got this forest shield, but we've got that. And I think that's how we keep it where Bill hasn't had to come mm-hmm. back. I mean, we've had talks with him, but he hasn't had to do, after the third one, mm-hmm. That was it. But I think it's because we really are all just, I don't know what to say, scared to death, but I'm worried, that we, mm-hmm. We all try to stick to at least the formula mm-hmm. and, yeah. And the prayers are constant, yeah. and yeah. So yeah, I totally get it. But I believe that with your land, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that it's just, and there's water close by too. Isn't there like water around?
Yeah.
Or
yes, there's, in fact, our piece of ground, we were originally an acre of ground, which was left out of 4,000 acres at one time. And in the late 80s, I sold almost half an acre of the ground next to me. And it was all swamp maples that were like 150 years old. But there was a creek. There's an open creek. The only section that's open, the water runs, and the rest is all underground, that it's all been channeled underground. So don't ask me why they allowed this one portion of 100 and maybe 20 feet of this creek to be left open. And, having the water nearby, that's a perfect storm. And also, probably Native American, lived, was on this land, that they cut the trees down and they built a house. We had sold a piece of ground to a contractor and he cut the 150 the swamp maples. In fact, some of the things we were glad, because we figured you get a bad storm, one of these trees can come right on the house. They were just really tall, but the land has been lived on for a couple of centuries, and a lot of people have lived and died, and they're having the Civil War element, like kind of connected with the property, being that there was Underground Railroad station, like right in our neighborhood was an area that for Underground Railroad. There might've been Civil War tunnels that they said was in back of my property that they sealed the manhole cover, but there was Civil War tunnels that at one point that were used. So yeah, it's kind of like a perfect storm to be between the history of the land, the type, people that have been on here. At one point, the land was even though it was taken, for that William Penn gave this land to the man, the family of the Lewis family that were here in the late 1600s, that land originally belonged to the Lenni Lenape Indians, which were all in this area, because the reservation, they have a monument and a reservation that the Lenni Lenape Indians lived, maybe not even like 6-7 miles from here. And it's designated now historical area. But that's what happened to the Indians. They were put on the reservation, and all this land was given to the farmers then. So, you have land being taken away, people settling, people dying. And, it's got to imprint somewhere, and as you said,
that's just so sad. June, I think about that, God, those poor people. I mean, that was their land, mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of at least I know that here, because mm-hmm. we always talk about the white man came, but I know for a fact from history that the Native Americans were fighting each other. A lot of them were fighting mm-hmm. each other over the lands.
Yeah.
And then the Hispanic or the Spanish, mm-hmm. I mean, they were actually here first to do that. People always say it's the white people, but the Spanish were there and they were fighting them. And then mm-hmm. they were trying to, mm-hmm. so was that, were there any other cultures there, or was it just, just the white people?
Well, as I said, it was, the settlers here were Welsh Quakers. So the connection, William Penn had a very favorable connection with the Native Americans. I mean, but after he died, the Native Americans were put into more of these reservations. They lost the land. But he tried to be fair with the Native Americans. But at any point when people are living on a land and you just tell them you have to move away because we want to settle here, it's that ownership. I mean, Native Americans at some point believe, that they only hold the land for temporarily, because as you move on, nobody could really own the land. They're just stewards of the land. But
exactly.
But having that, and also having where the ownership of slaves, Quakers, they believed in peace and things, but they had ownership. They had slaves, that they had working their properties, whether they were being paid or indentured servants. So, you look back, even in the 1600s, slaves were here working in the land, indentured service. We have an old homestead only about a mile from here. And it was an indentured servant who finally paid off after 5 years of his servitude and was able to establish his own home, and it's one of the oldest log cabins in the area, the Thomas Massey House. So that's used for programs for the school kids. They come in, they have the people working the big fireplace, and they cook meals and things, and they show people. So all this area, it's been from the fur trappers from the late 1600s, and there's been trap lines. A lot of our highways right now that we are used to were trap lines for the Native Americans, and it was their highway that they used, and then the white man used the same roads and just paved them over, because it's all been connected. Outside of Philadelphia, as I said, it's Philadelphia was the capital of the United States at one time. It has a really old history, but there's a lot that people don't understand. You're living in a home, but the ground itself, Lord knows how many people might have lived and then moved on. So it's an interesting mix, that being the executor of my friend's house, how that would be opening up a world of things that we never dreamed that we would be. It's just, when I look back on it, I knew my friend for so many years. Then when he passed away, then I'm executor. Then we find out all these strange things are going on in his house. I take his things that he left me, put them in my house, and then it affects my house. But there was something here already, but it was kind of dormant. And then by bringing in my friend's artifacts that have probably their own energies around it, it kind of just started activating. And the dormant or the docile, maybe spirits here, didn't like when we brought the trespassers in. So that is a unique kind of situation where Bill said you could feel the tension that they want to be left alone. And then you have this kind of evil influence was brought through some of the artifacts that my friend left me. And, you know, and my friend didn't even probably realize like what he was doing by leaving me all these things. So it's
right.
Quite a smorgasbord of like, you know, energies attached to like I have Native American artifacts. My friend left me because he was an anthropologist and he collected things. So, you know, it's a full circle, you know, that he was studying Native American, the South American Indians. And he actually worked on a ghost town out in Utah, that it was an early settlement from the Mormon, you know, people that settled, pioneers. And he called me from Utah because he was originally supposed to go to Guatemala and study, because he was studying the Mayan Indians. And at the time that he put in with his grant to go down there, they were having guerrilla warfare and a very unstable government. And they said, we can't guarantee your safety, you know, if you come here and do archaeological work. So he was disappointed because he couldn't go. But so he said, I'm stuck here, you know, in the West, that I have to go in Utah, and I have to go. It's called Goshen, was an old, was a ghost town. And then he calls me how excited he is because there's an Indian burial ground where he found the pioneer village. And he says, guess what? We found Native American stuff. So he was excited that he could use his background in his studies, you know, that he found that too. So
literally he was traveling. So you had artifacts you were going through that were from everywhere.
Yes.
Probably no telling what was attached to all of those. So yeah, you went, that was a lot. So you really never had too many experiences prior to this with paranormal.
Not that I could say. I'm like, I was always, it was interesting to watch the shows. I was always interested in like, you know, UFO, that there's always something more, just try to be very open-minded. My study of ancient history with ancient Egyptians, and I just thought, you know, the ancient Egyptians were such a highly evolved culture, you know, there's so many things, the questions. And I started reading up on, you know, like the Native Americans, the Anasazi Indians. So that it goes way back, my interest in ancient history since I was a young person. And then to have this friend of mine who, you know, Paul, who was an anthropologist, you know, we just clicked because he was living, you know, what I would love to go on an archaeological dig, you know. And I had gone out on the Smithsonian tour to Arizona, did study Native American jewelry. We met artists and got to see a lot of the ruins. But it's just so strange how everything comes, like my interests and my profession as an artist and being restoration, doing that work, and then to be involved with the paranormal, and things just seem to kind of fit. They dovetail into each other, which I never believed could, but because I deal with old pieces, you know, people are bringing me, you know, old statuary that has to be fixed, or antique dolls that I have to fix. Paintings have to be cleaned, you know, fixing a frame. But it's like, I've never felt that any of those things were anything detrimental. Like, it was just fascinating for me to work on historical pieces. I've worked for historical societies to restore photos that were in their archives, like say from the beginning of the turn of the 1900s. And, you know, I've got called for, I've actually restored thousands of restorations through the years, because I've been doing it for like over 40 something years. I've been restoring photos, and people come to me, want advice about a painting or artwork, you know, and I try to direct them where they could do the research. But yeah, the paranormal, it kind of found us. I think it just, you know, Bill said something one time I never forget. He said, you didn't look for it, Anita, it found you. He said, you can't really, like, people search for on these shows and they want to find ghosts so bad, but he said so many things that usually they appear to you. There's a reason that they found you and your son. So yeah, he said, you didn't seek it out. They sought you. So it's an interesting thing.
And that it's interesting that you've been doing restoration of old photos, antique items, all which belong to probably, you know, families that have died or people,
yes,
you know, so in a way you've been working with creating and healing the pictures to bring them back to life. Or when you mentioned the dolls, I have my mom's doll, is a China doll.
Uh-huh.
And she's in here in the cabin right now. I'll move her into the house when it gets too cold out here because we don't have heater. But anyway, so when it's probably she'll be moved back into the main house. But yeah, so she was her name's Cynthia. She's a, you know, she's, so if I ever have any problem with her, that's my mama's doll.
I have people. I had a woman sent me her doll growing up from the 1940s. It was her a composition doll, and composition, it's only made of pressed sawdust and glue. And what happens is there's a main case, and then there's a sort of a shell that's put on that they paint and mold the hair. And what happens is temperature, it cracks. You know, it separates from the underneath foundation. So she sent me the doll, and I was able to fix her, and she was so thrilled. And I made a little dress because I make antique clothes too, like from old doilies and from trim, and I make the little underwear. And I just love designing like the clothes and things for the dolls. And you know, so it's just my grandmother made what my grandmother used to make wedding dresses. She made my mom's wedding gown, and she made all the bridesmaids' dresses. So it's inherent in me. My mom sewed, but I love to sew by hand. I don't like to use a sewing machine. I just do all hand sewing, and just like the old-fashioned way with a drawstring and not using snaps or whatever. I try to just use little buttons, whatever. Like, and I have antique buttons and trim, and it's just so much fun. I just love it because the dolls have a story. Every doll, you know, they're like 100, 150 years old, and you wonder the little child that had it, or you know, they play with it or told their secrets to. So I just love what I do. You know, I love being able to, and the treasures, like I've done anywhere from a Civil War tintype, I've scanned it and been able to restore it. You know, if I could scan it, I try to restore it through my computer program, but I used to do it by hand years ago when I first started. You had to hand paint the all the defects out of the pictures, and it took a really long time. Now with the computer program, it's just so much better, and I've been doing that now since 1996 when Photoshop really came out. And it's been great because I do actually some book covers for my literary agent, because her clients, I've done book covers. I do graphics for our store, and I just you know, restore these photographs, and it's just fantastic, you know, that I can get these treasures and just give them back to the people so they can enjoy for the next generation. You know, that's the whole idea. You know, I get such
Oh,
happiness.
that's so beautiful, Anita. I think that's so wonderful. I'm sure that that's, you know, is part of why you're, you know, part of, you know, I mean, like, let's face it, you've made it through the, you know, the hardest part of dealing with the, you know, the evil entities. I mean, they haven't come back too badly, you know, so that's a good thing. So you've pretty much kind of made it out of the hardest part of it. And I think that just shows the, you know, just like our family. I mean, you could have left the house. You could have, you know, you could have walked away, but you know, you didn't, you know, and your story is similar. You stayed there and you did something about it. And I love that story. I don't remember if we were if you were telling that it to me personally or if it was on the show last week, but you were talking about how you were standing up to it and saying, if you're gonna, you know, what was it? It was the garage
Yeah,
door.
the garage door kept going up and down. Yeah, at my
Tell
friend's
that
house.
story one. Tell that story because I think that is that just shows that really tells something. I love that story.
We were at Paul's house, and you know, in the afternoon, Chris brought several of his friends over just to help us cart trash and move boxes and get things out. So the garage, it was a two-car garage, and I had the door opener to open up one side of the garage door. We couldn't open; it was broken. So we had put a stopper, like I think we just put an old screwdriver to keep the door open. The other door we could open, and that was a mess in the garage, and we had to go through that at some point. But I said to my son's friends, I said, "Look, you know, that's it for today. You've got to go to work." One of the fellas, and this was like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I took the garage door opener and pressed it, got the garage door down, and I'm walking away, and the garage door goes open, and I said, "Oh, I guess I didn't press the handle hard enough." So I did it again, And as I'm walking away, my son and his friends are just watching this whole thing from the car. Like they're standing outside the car waiting for me to close up everything for the day. And my friend's estate, nobody was staying there. We would just lock up and put the security system on. And the door goes open again. And they're laughing. I go, what is going on over here? So I said to my son, press the door, the thing, let it go down. I'm going to get the handle and I'll guide it down to the ground because I want to make sure that that door is closed. So we did that. It went down to the ground there. That ought to do it. Get away from it. The door goes back up again. Now this happens like 3-4 times. So then, I said to him, I guess I had put the door thing in the kitchen at one point. I go, look, you know, let's put it in there. You close it again one more time. And the door kept going open. So I said to him, would you go in there, go get that door opener? I left it on the kitchen table. I said, I'm just going to have to bring it with me. I said, and I think when we close this door, I said, we're going to have to put a brick or something to keep it down. Well, anyway, he goes in and goes, Mom, the door opener is gone. I said, what do you mean it's gone? I said, it was just on the kitchen table. He said, yeah, well, it's not there anymore. And so I said, oh, you know, I've had it. So I'm hot, dirty, tired. It's like summertime. We have been through so much. I was just so fed up with the house. We have been there for so many months, like trying to get this place cleaned out. And so that's what I said. Oh, I've done it. So my son, go, Mom. We know you can do this. I went into the house. I wasn't even afraid anymore because you know, we always used to be two people going in the house. And like, I went down the basement, which was like, you know, that's ground zero. I marched down that basement. I didn't even put the light on. I just went down in the dark of the basement. I said, okay, you guys, you listen up right now. You don't give me that garage door opener right now. I will bulldoze this house down. So help me God. And that's going to be the end of it. My son called, Mom, the door opener sits on his back on the table. I go, that's more like it, you know, and I grabbed the door thing. And then the door went down and I grabbed the door, the opener. And I said, I'm putting that in my handbag and we're taking it with me. I'm not leaving this in the house again. So it disappears. But stuff used to disappear all the time to play with us. It would make us go nuts. There was a dimmer switch, was a knob. And you had to screw it off if you wanted to ever change the knob. This door, this knob would unscrew and be thrown all around the house. We never knew when the door, this thing would just be thrown. We had friends over. They go, yeah, you said the house is like haunted. I go, just wait. You're not here 5 minutes. You know, give it a few minutes. And something would be thrown into one of the bedrooms. I go, did you hear that? I go, there you go. I mean, but the funniest thing was, we had a repairman come because, as I said, my friend had passed. People didn't even know yet. So we had a knock on the door and it was a repairman that apparently my friend had made this arrangement. Like every 6 months, they come check the heater, the air conditioner. And he said, I'm here to do this. I said, well, Mr. So-and-so, I said, he passed away. Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He said, I was just going to check the air conditioner. He said, you know, I can come back. I go, no, you're here now. I'm the executor. I'll sign whatever you need me to sign that you're checking the vents and whatever. And we needed to get this checked out before we sold the house. Anyway, this gentleman came down to the basement. We're down there trying to, you know, do some things. And so he's down there and he's checking something. Then he goes back upstairs and he comes down. He said, you know, ma'am, he said, I don't know. I'm checking things. Things just are not working right. He said, I was supposed to be here for like 5-10 minutes. He said, I'm here now an hour. I go, yeah, what's going on? He goes, I can't understand. I'll turn it on out there to check and it gets shut off. And I'm coming here to see if it's the wiring. Everything's fine. My son's jabbing me. He goes, yeah, he doesn't know the half of it. What's really going on in this house? So the poor man, after so much time goes by, yeah. So he finally thought he had everything done. We're down the basement. He comes down the steps after he's checking the box outside, I guess, for the electrical outlet. He says, I think you're okay now. He said, I made sure everything's connected. So I said, well, you know, we've had some problems here in the house. I said, do you by any chance hear anything? Because when he was coming down, we were having things that we were putting in boxes. There were packs of photos I was saving for my friend's brother. The packs were getting thrown across the room. And it's like, my son said, there you go again. It's across the room, Mom. They just threw more stuff across the room. And there was like, oh, there was like spools of yarn. And there was, they must have taken a sewing box. I didn't even know it was down the basement. Spools of thread. Each one's getting thrown. All this thread's getting thrown around the room. I go, oh my God, what's happening over here? So I said, the guy would come down and then it would be silent. And then he'd go back up and then the activity once would start again. My son said, this guy's going to come down and a spool of thread's going to hit him or something. I said, don't say anything. You let him just like finish up. So finally, he comes down. Here's this, would you just sign the order, ma'am, to make sure that I checked everything. And as he were doing it, there was like a bang on the other side of the wall. And I said, well, I don't know. You've been here quite a while. I mean, have you heard stuff? He said, no, not really. I said, well, did you just hear that? He goes, well, I heard that. He said, I'm gonna tell you, lady, you got a spook problem down here. He ran upstairs and went out the door with the order. He said, you got a major spook problem down in this place. I was like, we died laughing after he left that you never saw a guy go up the steps so fast out the door that he it's like he said, well, I heard that. I said, do you hear anything? No, I heard that, the bang. And I go, yeah. He's looking at you got a major spook problem going on down here, lady.
Oh my God, so he was standing there and that then he heard it.
He
And
heard
that
it.
just took one time and he's
Yeah, he
out.
heard that bang. But it's like every time he was coming down to check the downstairs box, things are going on. I go, I don't know how this guy like he's not hearing this or what's going on or he's ignoring it because stuff is just like my son and I are just there and you're hearing and half the basement was being emptied out so you could hear if something a wooden spool of threads getting thrown on the concrete ground, which was always happening. I mean, we had a metal bolt, this huge metal bolt got thrown against a metal cabinet, made a dent in it. And I said to my son's friends, I said, boy, if you guys have been in that bolt could have killed you. He said, yeah, but you notice it went against the cabinet. It's to scare us. That one of his friends said, I guess they're trying to scare us. I go, well, are you scared? Well, we're going to finish out today, but we won't be coming back. So they're not going to go. They weren't going to come back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
The
Oh my God. So that guy, the repairman,
repairman.
he was hearing stuff, not
He's
just
here. Yeah. And he was like, he says, I can't understand why it's taken me so long to check on things at the house. But we had that where things get turned off, lights would turn off, the refrigerator door would open. I said, Chris, what is that noise? Sounds like a motor. He goes, look, they said the refrigerator door's open. I said, okay, that's a new one. Okay, close the refrigerator door. I don't know why that's opening again. Or we would get locked where his friend got locked in the kitchen and we're in the basement and the door is just like I've never seen anything like it where the door handle you couldn't move it was frozen that you couldn't and he's on the, and then all of a sudden it just opens and his friend went screaming out he went out he never came back he goes I'm
That
not
happened.
coming back here he's
Yeah, that happened with Tristan and I in that one room, which is from his bedroom to the living room, and they kept hearing they would hear a noise, like a voice sounded like my voice, and then there was so that was what was going on, and then one time I kept hearing like something in the room or something, I can't remember now, but it was like all I know is I went to try, he couldn't get out. And I couldn't get in. And then all there's no lock on the door. It would not open. And so that was a really, we had to get the sage out, we had to get the oils out, we had to do, because every time you get to that point, it escalates and you're like, oh shit, I gotta get the save, get the save everybody and get the sage and get the oil and do the prayers. I just remember, like, think about how that's so hard on your health. I mean, that's so
Yeah, the
scary
constant
to go
pressure.
through that.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? They like to keep you unbalanced and second guessing yourself and say, did I just see that? Or, am I going, crazy or am I hallucinating? But the thing is, in your gut, it's intuition, like, wait a minute, that really, it's you get the goosebumps. It's to your skin and to your bone that you feel something is really going on because the cold go through you or get the smells or you hear weird things, and then it's It's just the point where with the house here, like it ebbs and flows. Like it's been a long time where we had so much escalation happen in 2010, and then would be other points like when we opened our store, we had some major stuff got broken and things, but things have like they calm down, but then a few things will happen, and it's just to kind of remind you, yeah, we're still around, we just don't ignore us, because but we don't want to feed into this, you have to move on, we're the tenants now here, and we live here, and we worked hard to keep the house going. I'm sure anything that when you own a home, you put blood, sweat, and tears in it. You don't want to have to move and go some other place. So that's why, we've stuck it out. And but Bill's been at our store. We've had stuff. We've had ha things happen at the store there, and it kind of follows us. So we have to be always vigilant with prayers and keeping the faith and believing that. You know what? You're not going to defeat us, because we cannot go to the way of like, oh, okay, that they can seduce you with, oh, well, don't you think that, things are so bad? And now I'm an optimist. My son has a really good outlook on life things too, that we have to remain positive. And I guess we're a challenge. And I think with you too, Mercedes, people that seem to be strong people, these entities, things they want to challenge you. They like it, and it's how we deal with that. I think our greatest moments are, okay, you're faced with something. How did you deal with it? And can you be proud? Like, did you succumb and just take an easy way out, or did you face up to it and say, no, you're not. I'm not going to take this. There's no way. I mean, we know what's right and wrong, and you, whatever you want to try to do here, you're in the wrong. Like you have to go, whether you want to face the music or not, but that's probably why they're still like in limbo, some of these spirits, because they don't want to face the music. They've done wrong, and they don't want to face what the real thing is, the final judgment. So they kind of hang around and kind of like like they'd rather be do that, I guess, than face the final music, maybe. I don't know, that's my opinion.
That's a definitely an interesting conversation, but we've run out of time. Just struck eight. But
Oh my goodness.
wow, what I mean, I just tell you what, I just absolutely love these conversations, and I mean it's this has been a great one. I mean, when you mentioned that a minute ago about, feeling crazy, well, that's like in that song. I mean, that's like at that moment in 2000, when that was happening, I mean, it was like, what is going on? You do feel like you're crazy. And I think, personally, I think it's for people like, for my story, your story, everyone's story that is, has something that shows that you can overcome. To me, I think that's so important, more so than all the scary stuff there is. If it can be scary, but how did you overcome it? And because there, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are so scared and so suffering, and they don't know. Like I didn't know there. I didn't. There was no support group for me, or there was no. I mean,
That's
like
right.
I luckily had some great people to communicate with, about things, but it was very trying. So I think people like yourself and myself, your story is very important for people to see that you overcame so much of this, and how you stood up to it, even just that one time, standing up with the in the garage. I mean, that's pretty spectacular, to show that they're just waiting there to play a joke almost, and it's and they are. They're just people on the other side playing tricks.
They think it's fun, I guess it's not too entertaining on the other side. I think I gotta play with us, but it's
Well, I grew up with Abbott and Costello and all those ghost shows, so I always saw them, playing these tricks. I always kind of thought, well, they are doing that. But Anita, I would love to have you come back again, sometime. It's almost the end of the year, but for sure next year, that would be great. Or
whatever
even maybe December.
whatever you see with your scheduling, and like some of the hard couple days we've been through, since last week. So we're just hanging in there and trying to. In fact, there's another person I had to cancel a podcast with him. I was supposed to see him last Thursday. He was supposed to do a come to my home, and we were going to do a podcast for Halloween.
Oh.
And I had to cancel that because of what happened. And so, you know, but you know, Chris is healing. He's going to be okay. You know, we're blessed that he's going to be okay. And you know, we're, so
yeah. So people, everyone that's listening, you know, we just send prayers right now, holding hands, divine creator, please, you know, continued prayers of healing for Chris in Jesus' name, that his heart heals perfectly. And we just ask for all just healing for you, for your heart, your emotional strength to be strengthened, Nita. And, you know, both of you guys are just blessings to the world. Right. And I just think of, thank you so much. And what, so yeah, so come back on again, later when everything's calmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just appreciate you coming on tonight on our Halloween special. You brought the Halloween fun.
I know. And your beautiful you know, music tribute that you composed, you know, before we did the show, and how much I just found so much identification with it, and you just did a beautiful job. So, you know, I'm so glad that you decided to share it on with my interview tonight. But thank you again so much, Mercedes, for having me on, hon. I know we'll be keeping in touch, and you see what your schedule's like, you know, in the near future, and I'd be glad to come back on, you know, whenever, anytime you want me on. So
thank you so much. Okay, so why don't you really quick just tell people where they can find you,
okay,
at your website and all that.
Okay, it's anitajointenzo.com. you can go on there, and right there there are two links to my books. You can go directly with estateofhorror.com, and then www.darktransference.com. And they are the two books I wrote about our experiences at my friend's house, and then also the haunting that we have at my house and continue to have, and our wonderful connection with Bill Bean, and also Bill Bean's books. You know, you and I both have been in his newest, you know, Tales of an Exorcist. So both we have stories that Bill has graciously put those stories in his book. But yeah, you can just, I'm on Facebook at Anita Jo Intenzo. You can check me out on Facebook. And I'm just so glad to got to meet you, Mercedes. I'm glad through our connections of certain friends that we got to meet. And it's been really, really delightful to be on your shows. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. And we got to thank Stan.
Thanks.
And Web Radio Network and his beautiful wife, Teresa. We're so thankful for them. All right. So everybody everywhere, have a beautiful and safe Hallows. You know, it's actually All Souls Day or something. I know,
yeah,
really.
The first will be All Souls Day. Yeah, November 1st.
Yeah,
when the veil,
right.
Not just tomorrow Halloween, but All Souls Day too is when the veil's thin. So, you know, hey, I would just tell people, if there's any type of, be on the lookout for signs of loved ones, maybe trying to connect.
Yeah.
You never know.
They, you know what? This is, I forgot. It was probably tonight is the night, I think, that Bill Bean came to our house.
Is that
2
right?
2 years ago. It was this night would have been the third exorcism.
Wow.
I didn't even think about it today with all the
stuff.
Wow,
that's crazy. Wow.
I think it would have been tonight or the day before, or something. I think it was tonight. So yeah, that's pretty big, huh? Wow. Woo!
Wow, that is. Yeah, Bill Bean's a real blessing in our lives too.
So all right. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you,
show will be available in just a little while on Spreaker, so we can just go listen to it again.
Okay. Well, you have a happy Halloween. Happy. My best to you and your family. Thanks again.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Please enjoy my music.
Every time that I've ever been knocked down, every time that I've ever gotten back up to face another round, I let go of my fear and put my pride down. I'm building my castle in heaven, climbing over the lessons I've been given, I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. challenge every mistake. Every time that I choose faith, I grow strong. I keep moving on and on and on. And I'm building my castle in heaven. I'm climbing over mountains of lessons I've been given. I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. Every moment, every day, every word that you say, every step along your way, every time that you make a mistake. Every good deed that you do, each time that you win, each time that you lose, each time that you walk, you walk in another shoe. On this earth where we grow strong, when we learn to forgive and we right our wrong.